From KCRW and McSweeney's, this is The Organist. I'm Andrew Leland. In today's episode, we're thrilled to present Antigonic, an experimental translation of Antigone by the Canadian poet Anne Carson. And before we hear Antigonic, I wanted to take a few minutes to talk to Angela Shackle, who adapted Anne Carson's text for the radio. Hi, Angela.
Hey, Andrew.
So first of all, what does that mean exactly, an experimental translation?
Right. So you definitely couldn't call Antigonic a straight literal translation of Sophocles' Antigone, even though Carson is a translator and worked from the original Greek. She also includes the reception history within the text itself. And what I mean by reception history is Antigone is a work that's been picked up by a lot of philosophers and playwrights and thinkers over the years. So it's this really bewildering and beautiful and complex project where Antigone as a character herself will refer to Hegel's interpretation of her, or another character will refer to how Beckett staged a certain scene in their dialogue. And I think it really layers all the voices of Antigone that are known and have existed since Sophocles on top of themselves. So it's kind of like this echo chamber back to the original Antigone. And yeah, and in that way, this project is much more than just a straight translation.
Is there anything else that we should know before we get into it?
Yeah, I think it'd be helpful to know what's going on in the world of Thebes before the play begins. So Antigone's brothers have just killed each other. And one was fighting for the state and one was fighting against the state. And the king, Creon, declares that it's illegal to bury any traitor who was fighting against the state. And this sets up the tension in the play, because for Antigone and the gods of her household, it is necessary for her to bury her brother. And if she doesn't, not only would his afterlife, but her whole family's afterlife and also her living life would be in peril with the gods.
Before we listen to Antigonic, we're going to hear from Anne Carson herself, right?
Yeah, before we begin, we're going to hear Carson read The Task of the Translator of Antigone, which is a letter that she addresses to Antigone, where she kind of goes through the reception history, like what we were talking about, of the work and all these different interpretations and adaptations that have already been done. And now Carson is kind of adding her own voice to their voices, along with translating Sophocles' work. And I think it's a really perfect and beautiful introduction to the play.
Great. So here's Anne Carson reading her letter to the translator of Antigone, followed by Antigonic.
But first, a quick word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Introducing the KCRW donation car, designed to be recycled. This first-of-its-kind vehicle will save you time, space, and hassle by disappearing. Enjoy the luxury and comfort of turning your underused car into a donation worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars. The KCRW donation car, already in your garage, driveway, or on cinder blocks outside your house. Act now at kcrw.com/cars.
Here's Anne Carson.
3, 2, 1. Hello. Thank you for listening to this podcast of my translation of Sophocles' Antigone, called Antigonic. I've written a brief, very brief introduction to the translation, which I shall now read. It's in the form of a letter. Dear Antigone, your name in Greek means something like against birth, or instead of being born. What is there instead of being born? It's not that we want to understand everything, or even to understand anything. We want to understand something else. I keep returning to Brecht, who made you do the whole play with a door strapped to your back. A door can have diverse meanings. I stand outside your door. The odd thing is, you stand outside your door, too. That door has no inside, or if it has an inside, you are the one person who cannot enter it. For the family who lives there, things have gone irretrievably wrong. To have a father who is also your brother means having a mother who is your grandmother, a sister who is both your niece and your aunt, and another brother you love so much you want to lie down with him thigh to thigh in the grave. Or so you say glancingly early in the play, but no one mentions it again afterwards. "Oh, you always exaggerate," my father used to tell me. And let's footnote here Hegel, calling woman the eternal irony of the community. How seriously can we take you? Are you Antigone between two deaths, as Lacan puts it? Or a parody of Creon's law and Creon's language, so Judith Butler, who also finds in you the occasion for a new field of the human? Then again, an exemplar of masculine intellect and moral sense is George Eliot's judgment. While to several modern scholars you, perhaps predictably, sound like a terrorist. And Zizek compares you triumphantly with Tito, the leader of Yugoslavia, saying no to Stalin in 1942. Speaking of the 1940s, you made a good impression on the Nazi high command and simultaneously on the leaders of the French resistance when they all sat in the audience of Jean-Henri's Antigone, opening night, Paris, 1944. I don't know what color your eyes were, but I can imagine you rolling them now. Let's return to Brecht. Maybe he got you best. To carry one's own door will make a person clumsy, tired, and strange. On the other hand, it may come in useful. If you go places that don't have an obvious way in, like normality, or an obvious way out, like the classic double bind. Well, all that's your problem. My problem is to get you and your problem across into English from ancient Greek. All that lies hidden in these people, your people. Crimes and horror and years together. A family, what we call a family. One of my earliest memories, wrote John Ashbery in New York Magazine, 1980, is of trying to peel off the wallpaper in my room, not out of animosity, but because it seemed there must be something fascinating behind its galleons and globes and telescopes. This reminds me of Samuel Beckett, who described in a letter his own aspirations toward language, to bore hole after hole in it until what cowers behind it seeps through. Dear Antigone, you also are someone keeping faith with a deeply other organization that lies just beneath what we see or what we say. To quote Creon, you are autonomos, a word made up of autos, self, and nomos, law. Autonomy sounds like a kind of freedom, but you aren't interested in freedom. Your plan is to sew yourself into your own shroud using the tiniest of stitches. How to translate this? I take inspiration from John Cage, who, when asked how he composed 433, answered, "I built it up gradually out of many small pieces of silence." Antigone, you do not any more than John Cage aspire to a condition of silence. You want us to listen to the sound of what happens when everything normal, musical, careful, conventional, or pious is taken away. O sister and daughter of Oedipus, who can be innocent in dealing with you? There was never a blank slate. We were always already anxious about you. Perhaps you know that Ingeborg Bachmann poem from the last years of her life that begins, "I lose my screams." Dear Antigone, I take it as the task of the translator to forbid that you should ever lose your screams. The end.
Antigone. Cast: Antigone,
Margot Williamson;
Ismene, sister of Antigone.
Naomi Squarna.
Creon, king of Thebes.
John McCurley.
Hymen, son of Creon and Eurydice.
Thomas Lewis.
Eurydice, wife of Creon, mother of Hymen.
Aaliyah Pabani.
Tiresias, blind prophet of Thebes, led by a boy.
Mide Akerebusi.
Guard.
Braden Labonte.
Messenger.
Leticia Cosbert.
Chorus of old Theban men.
Mother of Lichandron.
Morishin Aloyori.
Edwina Atley.
Nick, a mute part, always on stage. He measures things.
Size, 10,678,612 megabytes. Duration, 00:57:22.
Narrator, Carrie Liao. Set, Palace of Creon at Thebes. Open onto Antigone and Ismene.
We begin in the dark, and birth is the death of us.
Who said that?
Hegel.
Sounds more like Beckett.
He was paraphrasing Hegel.
I don't think so.
Whoever was, whoever we are, dear sister, ever since we were born from the evils of Oedipus, what bitterness, pain, disgust, disgrace, or moral shock have we been spared? And now this edict. You've heard the edict?
I've heard no edict. That our two brothers are dead by one another's hands, and the Argive army gone from this city, is all I know.
That's what I thought. That's why I called you out here.
What's the matter? You have your thunder look.
Creon is resolved to honor one of our brothers with burial, the other not. Iticles he is laid in the ground in accordance with justice and law. Polynices is to lie unwept and unburied. Sweet, sorry meat for the little lusts of the birds. Noble Creon draws our attention to this edict. Yours and my attention. Whoever transgresses it gets death. So what do you say?
What could I say? What could I do?
If you join me, if you join my action.
At what risk? Where is your mind?
If you help me lift the corpse.
Creon says unlawful to do so.
Antigone says unholy not to.
Oh, sister, don't cross this line.
Dear sister, my dead are mine, and yours as well as mine.
Whoever we are, think, sister. Father's daughter, daughter's brother, sister's mother, mother's son. His mother and his wife were one. Our family is doubled, tripled, degraded, and dirty in every direction. Moreover, we two are alone, and we are girls. Girls cannot force their way against men.
Yet I will.
Sweet sister, you aim too high.
True sister, yet how sweet to lie upon my brother's body, thigh to thigh.
Your heart so hot, thou sister.
O one and only head of my sister, whose blood intersects with my own in too many ways. The dead are cold, they'll welcome me.
You are a person in love with the impossible.
And when my strength is gone, I'll stop.
It's wrong.
Don't say that or I'll have to hate you. He will hate you too, just let me go. For I'll not endure anything so grievous as what robs me of a noble death.
Go then, but know you go as one beloved. Although you go without your mind.
Exit Antigone and Ismene. Enter Chorus.
The glories of the world come shocking in all red and gold. We won the war. Salvation struts the streets of seven-gated Thebes.
The man from Argos fled. The one who swung above our land on snow-white screams. Who overweened our walls. Seven spears in his mouth instead of teeth.
The noise of war was stretched along his back. The boaster fled.
Zeus hates a boaster. Saw an ocean of them coming at us. Raised his hand, they hit the ground. They were the men from Argos.
War made them all insane.
Seven gates, and in each gate a man, and each man a death. At the seventh gate,
two brothers grew into each other's hearts as pain. Now victory is ours.
Let there be forgetting. Let Thebes shake with joy. Here comes Creon.
Rowing his new power boat.
Enter Creon.
Here are Creon's verbs for today. Adjudicate, legislate, scandalize, capitalize. Here are Creon's nouns. Men, reason, treason, death, ship of state, mine.
Mine isn't a noun.
It is if you capitalize it.
Enter guard.
Well.
Well what?
Well we what?
Well, we saw someone.
Saw someone what?
Or actually no one.
Was it someone or no one?
Oh, hypothetically.
You goat's anus, tell me who buried that body I said was unlawful to touch.
Don't know.
So find out.
Exit Creon and guard.
Many terribly quiet customers exist, but none more
terribly quiet than man. His footsteps pass so perilously soft across the sea in marble winter,
up the stiff blue waves, and every Tuesday, down he grinds on unastonishable earth
with horse and shatter. Shatters too the cheeks of birds and traps them in his forest headlights.
Salty silvers roll into his nest. He weaves it just for that.
This terribly quiet customer.
He dooms animals and mountains, technically by yoke. He makes the bull bend, the horse to its knees, and
utterance and thought as clear as complicated air, and moods that make a city moral.
These he taught himself. The snowy cold he knows to flee, and every human exigency crackles as he plugs it in.
Every outlet works but one. Death stays dark. Death he cannot doom.
Fabrications notwithstanding.
Evil, good laws, gods, honest oath-taking, notwithstanding.
Hilarious in his high city, you see him cantering just as he pleases, the lava up to
the
here.
The lava up to here.
Enter guard with Antigone.
This. Oh, I don't know. Let's not mention gods.
Let's not mention Oedipus.
Here's Antigone.
Please don't say she's the one.
She's the one. She did it. She did. I got her.
Oh, perfect. Here's Creon.
Enter Creon.
Here's Creon. Nick of time.
Well, miracles do happen. I swore I wouldn't come back, but I did. Because I got her. She's the one. She did it, and I got her. She was fiddling with the grave. I'm off the hook.
Fiddling? What do you mean, fiddling?
I'm a free man. I'm free. I'm off the hook.
Explain how you caught her.
She was burying him.
How? Where? When? Are you sure? Tell me more.
The corpse. The illegal. She was burying him. What more do you want?
Burying him how and where? Did you see her? And how did you catch her? I want details.
Details, okay. You threatened me. I went back, wiped off all the dust, left that body bare, sat up on the hill. Was it hot? Yes. Was there putrefaction and vermiculation? Yes. Was there noon sun stink? Yes. Did I doze off? No, I did not. I kept me awake. Then all of a sudden, a storm came up. A wind tore the hair off the trees, lofted the dust with fear, and I shut my eyes. And when I sneaked a look, there she was. The child in her bird grief. The bird in her child-reft grave cry, howling and cursing. She poured dust onto the body with both hands. She poured water onto the body with both hands. I seized her. I charged her. It made me sad. But still, that's less than my own safety. You like nouns? Here are some. Dust libation, done deal, dead reckoning.
Actually, I prefer verbs.
Got her.
And you with your head down, you're the one.
Bingo.
Creon to guard.
Go.
Exit guard.
You knew it was against the law.
Well, if you call that law.
I do.
Zeus does not. Justice does not. The dead do not. What they call law did not begin today or yesterday. When they say law, they do not mean a statue of today or yesterday. They mean the unwritten, unfailing, eternal ordinances of the gods that no human being can ever outrun. Of course I will die, Creon or no Creon, and death is fine. This has no pain. To leave my mother's son lying out there unburied, that would be pain.
Ra is her father, isn't she?
You think you're iron, but I can bend you. I am the man here.
Yes, you are.
I'll bend your sister, too.
Can we just get this over with?
No. Let's split hairs a while longer. I'd say you're the only one in Thebes who sees things this way, wouldn't you? You're autonomous, autarkic, autodidactic. Autodomestic, autoemphatic, autotherapeutic, autohistorical, autometaphorical, autoerotic, and auto-beguiled.
Actually, no, they all think like me. But you've nailed their tongues to the floor.
You're not ashamed?
No shame in honoring one's kin.
Wasn't the other brother your kin, too?
Same mother, same father.
Yet you honor the one, disgrace the other.
My dead do not say so.
The one is a criminal. The other, a defender of our land.
Death needs to have death's laws obeyed.
Same law, for good and evil, patriot and traitor.
Oh, who knows how these definitions work down there?
Enemy is always enemy, alive or dead.
I am born for love, not hatred.
I will not be worsened by a woman.
Enter Ismene.
Here is Ismene. Why is she blushing?
Here's Ismene. Why is she snaking in here?
I did the deed. I share the blame.
You did nothing. You share nothing. Leave my death alone.
I want to row the boat with you.
Save yourself.
I'll be so lonely.
Some think the world is made of bodies. Some think forces. I think a man knows nothing but his foot when he burns it in the hot fire.
Quoting Hegel again.
Hegel says I'm wrong.
But right to be wrong.
No ethical consciousness.
Is that how he puts it?
So I wonder. Let's say my unconscious, while remaining unconscious, could also know the laws of consciousness by which I am condemned for disobeying them. I mean, can a person be so completely conscious of being unconscious that she is guilty of her own repression? Is that what I'm guilty of?
Well, we all think you're a grand girl.
Is this an argument?
I can help you suffer.
No.
I can give you reasons not to die.
No.
Ismene to Creon.
I can give you reasons not to kill her. Your own son, for one.
Oh, he'll find other ruts to plow. You woman in your beds make me sick. Guards! Take them away.
Exit Antigone, Ismene, and Creon.
Blessed be they whose lives do not taste of evil.
But if some god shakes your house, ruin arrives.
Ruin does not leave. It comes tolling over the generations.
It comes rolling the black night salt up from the ocean floor,
and all your thrashed coasts groan.
Archives of grief I see falling upon this house.
Death on birth, birth on death. There is no end to it.
Some god is piling them on.
One last root was reaching up for the light in the house of Oedipus.
But the bloody dust of death hacks her down, mows her down.
All the tall, mad mountains of her mind.
Zeus, you win.
You always win. The whole oxygen of power belongs to you. Sleep cannot seize it. Time does not tire it. Your Mount Olympus glows like one white stone around this law. Nothing vast enters the lives of mortals without ruin.
But of course there is hope.
Look, here comes hope.
Wandering in to tickle your feet.
Then you notice the souls are on fire. A wise word.
If evil looks good to you, some god is heading you on the high road to ruin.
Here's Haimon.
Here's Haimon in pain and rage, cheated of his future bride.
Enter Haimon.
In a rage about your future bride, or are we still friends?
Father, I'm yours.
Good attitude, son. Good heart in your chest. I need you like that. We hold the same friends, damage the same enemies. Some children are useless. Some are just trouble. And who would disagree? This makes people laugh at the father. Fact of life. I'll say to you now, I'll say it one time. When you lay yourself under a pleasure female, you take an open wound into your house and your life. Spit her out. Let her snake her way down and seduce some boy in hell. You know she disobeyed me, alone out of all the city. I will not be made a liar. I'll kill her. Let her call on Zeus and blood and kinship. Who cares? Should I nourish disorder within my own family? No, I should not. My public is watching.
Father, the gods grow minds in men as the most precious equipment they have. Yet I could not, would not, do not know how to say you're wrong. It may be some other way. I don't know. Might turn out I delete this line. I'm your defender. I'm yours. I keep watch. No one says or does or disparages any of... Why your dread eye, your displeasure? No one. Yet I hear there is talk. There are shadows. This girl... Here I posit a lacuna. This girl does not deserve to die. The town is sad. Most glorious of deeds, most terrible of deaths. They say she only chose to keep her brother's body from raw dogs and eating birds. This sort of talk. I don't know. Night's coming, O father. When you ride uphill, got to shift your weight, pedal to pedal, side to side, ride the rhythm. Don't hoard your own custom. Don't haul old anger up over your tongue and your mind. They go blind. Trees bend. Ships loosen the rigging. No single human being has perfect knowledge.
I like a good argument. Marrow versus marrow.
You two could learn from each other.
Me, at my age, go to school and get wisdom from this stripling.
You would learn nothing unjust.
Nothing unjust to honor anarchy.
I do not honor anarchy.
Is the girl not tainted with the malady?
Thebes says otherwise.
Shall Thebes prescribe to me how I should rule?
Listen to yourself. You sound like a boy dictator.
Whom else should the government depend on?
No city belongs to a single man.
Surely a city belongs to its ruler.
Why not find a desert and rule all alone?
Creon to the chorus.
This fellow, it seems, is the woman's toy.
If you are the woman, it's you I care for.
Oh, shameless, thou utter miscreant, to prosecute thine own father.
Yes, for I see you doing wrong.
Wrong to respect mine own prerogatives?
You don't respect, you trample on the prerogatives of the gods.
Oh, polluted, oh, dastard nature, oh, subject to a woman.
But not subject to injustice.
All thy words plead for her.
And for you. And me, and the gods below.
Thou canst never marry her this side of the grave.
Then she'll die and take another with her.
Doth thy boldness push thee even to threats?
Threats? What threats?
Thou shalt rue the day of thy witless teaching.
If you weren't my father, I'd say you are mad.
Thou woman's chattels seek not to tickle me.
You talk and talk and never listen.
Sayest thou so? Well now. Well now, I say, thou shalt revile me to thy cost. Fetch out the loath creature. Let her die hard against her bridegroom now, this very instant, before his eyes.
Never.
Exit Hymen.
Well, he's gone, in anger and pain.
Let him go, big man. I have deaths to do.
Both girls?
No, just the loud one.
How?
I'll find her a desert in the neighborhood. I'll bury her alive with a bit of food. Sacred closet. Terrible leisure. No doubt the god of death will save her life.
Exit Creon.
Eris, no one can fight you. Eris, you clamp down on every living thing.
On girls' cheeks, on oceans, on wild fields. Not even an immortal can evade you. Certainly not a creature of the day.
Why, they go mad.
They go mad.
You change the levels of a person's mind. This Hymen crisis is all you're doing.
You shook his blood. You glow on girls' eyelids.
Who cares about the laws of the land?
Aphrodite. You play with us.
You play deeply.
I can no longer restrain the stream of tears when I see Antigone here passing to the room
where we all go in the end.
Enter Antigone.
Hegel says people want to see their lives on stage. Look at me, people. I go my last road. I see my last light. Look. Death, who gathers all of us into his old bent arms in the end, is gathering me. But I'm still alive. No wedding. No wedding song. No wedding chamber. Yet I shall lie in the bed of the river of death while I am still alive.
Yes. But won't you win glory? Won't you be praised? It's not as if you're dying of disease or war.
You chose to live autonomous.
And so you die. The only one mortal to go down to death alive.
Are you mockers of me, you grabbing old men? Are you laughers at me, though I'm not yet gone? O spring of the river of Thebes, O reaches of the plains of Thebes, bear me witness. No one shed a tear for me as I went to my strange new grave, for I'm a strange new kind of in-between thing, aren't I? Not at home with the dead, nor with the living.
You're clumsy, it's true.
Clumsy as your father.
Remember how Brecht had you do the whole play with a door strapped to your back.
Oh, I don't want to talk about him, or him, or him. All that plowing in the dark. I go to them now, one final intersection. Oh, my brother, you have despoiled me.
You despoiled yourself. Piety is nice, but authority is authority.
Why must you always make your own laws?
Unwept, unwed, unloved, I go.
Enter Creon.
Take her. We are clean of this girl.
O tomb, O bridal chamber, O house in the ground forever. I was an organized person, and this is my reward. I organized your deaths, my dear ones. All of you, father, mother, brother, when you died. You ask would I have done it for a husband or a child? My answer is no, I would not. A husband or a child can be replaced. But who can grow me a new brother? Is this a weird argument? Creon thought so. But I don't know. The words go wrong. They call my piety impiety. I'm alone on my insides. I died long ago. Who suffers more? I wonder who suffers more.
Your soul is blowing apart.
Get a move on.
Next word is death.
Death.
O Thebes, O gods, O look, I go. I'm the last one left in a line of kings. I was caught in an act of perfect piety.
Exit Antigone.
How is a Greek chorus like a lawyer? They're both in the business of searching for a precedent, finding an analogy, locating a prior example, so as is to be able to say,
this terrible thing we're witnessing now is not unique,
you know. It happened before.
Or something much like it.
We're not at a loss how to think about this. We're not without guidance.
There is a pattern. We can find an historically parallel case and file it away under Antigone, buried alive Friday afternoon. Compare case histories 7, 17, and 49.
Now I could dig up those case histories. Tell you about Danaus and Lycurgus and the sons of Phineas, people locked up in a room or a cave or their own dark mind.
It wouldn't help you.
It doesn't help me. It's Friday afternoon. There goes Antigone to be buried alive.
Is there any way we can say this is normal, rational, forgivable, or even in the widest definition, just? No, not really.
No, not really. Here comes Tiresias.
Enter Tiresias, led by a boy. Tiresias to the chorus.
Hail you, kings of Thebes! I begin by addressing the wrong person, because I'm blind. Is that what you think? Because I'm blind?
What's up, Tiresias?
Tiresias to Creon.
You're standing on a razor. I hear the birds. They're be-barbarismanized. They're making monster sounds. The fires won't light. The rites go wrong. You know my technologies. You know the failing of the sign is in itself a sign. From you a sickness, from you a separation, from you a surfeit comes out upon the city. This pile of rot that was the son of Oedipus. The boy is dead. Stop killing him.
You fake. You profiteer. You entrepreneur. You're too quiet.
Watch out, Creon. Watch out. I see the future plunging towards you. And it contains the corpse of your own son. You've made a structural mistake with life and death, my dear. You've put the living underground and kept the dead up here. That is so wrong. That is so wrong.
Exit Tiresias with boy.
I hate to mention it, but historically his prophecies are never false.
I know. I'm shaking.
Take advice.
Tell me.
Set the girl free.
You mean...
Quick.
It hurts.
Quick.
I go.
Exit Creon.
An hour, a year, a split second, a decade, this instant, a decade, a second, this instant, split seconds,
a split second. And now,
a neck.
Creon rushes out.
Creon rushes out.
All the guards rush out.
Rushes out.
Hang by the neck until...
Here we are.
Here we
in
are.
A song about joy.
In a song about joy.
Here we are in a day about dust.
Here we are
in a day about dust.
The dust it takes to house enemies.
The house it takes to dust justice. The justice it takes
to dodge a bullet. The bullet it takes to justify lovers. The love in which to delete your own darling.
The darling dust.
The dust you disperse. The you who does not.
Size 267.1 megabytes.
Here we are.
We're all fine.
We're standing in the nick of time.
Here we are.
We're all fine. We're standing in the nick of time.
Duration 30:45.
Enter Messenger.
O people, there is no stanza of human life that I would praise or blame. Luck sends your powerboat up or down the waves at any given moment. No seer can see what's next. Creon, I thought, was an enviable man, for he saved this land of Cadmus. He got his hands on monarchy. He sailed it straight, and furrows of children flourished around him. Now all that's gone. When joy betrays you, I do not count your life alive. A corpse is more alive. Be as rich as you like. Be absolute. If your joy goes, I wouldn't buy you for a shadow of smoke.
You're the messenger. What's your message?
They're dead.
Who's dead?
Hyman's dead.
By whose hand?
A hand very like his own.
Okay, Tiresias.
Point, match, game.
Game's not over.
You're right.
Here's your ridiculing wife of Creon.
What's she up to?
Enter Eurydice.
This is Eurydice's monologue. It's her only speech in the play. You may not know who she is. That's okay. Like poor Mrs. Ramsay, who died in a bracket of To the Lighthouse, she's the wife of the man whose moods tensify the world of this story. The world sundered by her. I say sundered by her. That girl with the undead strapped to her back. A state of exception marks the limit of the law. This violent thing. This fragile thing. Try to unclench, we said to her. She never did. We got her the bike. We got a therapist. That poor, sad man with his odd ideas. Some days he made us sit on the staircase, all on different steps. Or videotaped us. But when we watched, it was nothing but shadows. Finally, we expelled her. We had to. Using the logic of friend and foe that she denies. But how can she deny the rule to which she is an exception? Is she autoimmune? No, she is not. Have you heard this expression? The nick of time? What is a nick? I asked my son. What is a nick? I asked my son. When the messenger comes, I set him straight. I tell him nobody's missing. We're all here. We're all fine. Why do you messengers always exaggerate? Exit Eurydice. Bleeding from all orifices.
Eurydice does not exit.
O beloved queen, I wish I could say I did not see what was left of Polynices. The dog-torn parts, the parts lying, the parts gathered, the parts burned on a sacred pile. I wish I could say I did not see the stones shrieking, the girl hanging, the boy a bloody lung, the father on his knees, the bolt leaving the wall, the sword sinking up to its own mouth. Oh, my queen, I did not see death marry them at last, oh, so shyly. But I did. I did see it. Exit Eurydice.
Exit Eurydice.
Exit Eurydice.
Exit Eurydice.
Too big a silence.
Final episode, 1275 to 1353.
Here comes Creon.
Here comes Creon.
Dragging his what?
Enter Creon with body of Hymen.
Here is my crime. It was my hard-killing mind. It was my deadly goings wrong. Oh, my child. Too soon dead. Oh, the sacrilege that I called public policy. It was my child assassinated by my folly.
You're late to learn what's what, aren't you?
Late to learn. Oh, yes, I am. Late. Too late. Oh, then some god slammed down on me a heavy weight. Some god shook me out on those raw roads. Alas, for the joy of my life that I've trampled underfoot. Alas, for us all going dark.
Enter messenger.
Okay, Creon. Widen your eyes.
What now? What worse?
Eurydice is dead. Eurydice is dead.
O filth of death, who can clean you out? O laugh of death, you crack me. You crack me open. You crack me open again. Here comes kill. Creon's verb for today. Now he's perfectly blended with pain.
Eurydice cursed you. Your wife cursed you. Assassin of your own child, she said. And she ended her eyes to the dark.
Yes, of course. Of course she did.
She blamed you.
And then...
stabbed herself in the liver.
Yes. Yes, she did. Of course, in the liver. Yes, I'm to blame. Take Creon away. He no more exists than someone who does not exist.
Brief is to best when evil is all around.
I want Creon's death.
That's the future.
This is the present.
You deal with the present.
To die is my only prayer.
Then don't pray at all.
You don't get to run this.
Take Creon away. Please. Take Creon away. Where can I look? Can I turn? Everything I touch goes wrong. An unbearable fate has loaded itself onto my head.
Last word. Wisdom.
Better get some.
Even too late.
Exeunt omnes, except Nick, who continues measuring.
Outro. Size, 362,934,244 bytes. 362.9 megabytes. Duration, 4147. Or total file size, 6,067,193,089 bytes. 6.07 gigabytes for 953 items.
You just heard Anne Carson's Antigonic, adapted for radio by Angela Shackle. And Angela is back here with me. And I just want to ask you, is there anyone else who worked on this that you want to thank?
Yeah, like definitely all the cast, everyone that read for it. It was just a really generous group of people who were really excited about the project and gave a lot to come in and read. So definitely thank you to all of the cast. And then also I had the pleasure of speaking with three academics that work in the world of ancient Greek myth and literature, Ella Hasselwart, Hannah Silverblank, and Katie Fleming. And they definitely deepened my understanding of what Carson was doing in this project and the engagement with the reception history. So when I first read Antigonic, I read it cold and I really loved it. Like, I don't think that a deeper understanding is necessary to appreciate the work, but speaking with those three women really deepened my appreciation for the depth of what Carson is doing, I guess I would say.
What sorts of things did you talk to these academics about?
We talked about the reception history. So I learned that Antigone is staged in more countries in the world than any other play. And I was really shocked to hear that because, you know, it's a part of a trilogy with her father is Oedipus, and Oedipus is a much more recognizable name. And so Ella kind of explained that Antigone had been a preserved text, but not necessarily that popular or relevant until Hegel picked it up. So Hegel did a reading of Antigone, and this kind of led to a lot of people picking up what Hegel had said and reinterpreting it. So Lacan commented on it, Irigaray, and then more recently Judith Butler has done a feminist theory reading of Antigone. And these are all things that Carson is actively engaging with in the text and references, especially in the letter of the task of the translator of Antigone. And then I guess lastly, I just want to say thank you so much to Anne Carson for the opportunity to adapt her text into audio. It was such a joy to spend so much time with the work.
So you can find more information about this production of Antigonic on our website, along with beautiful illustrations of the entire cast, more information about Anne Carson's work, as well as previous episodes of The Organist. That's all at kcrw.com/theorganist. This episode was produced by Angela Shackle with Brandon Labonte. The Organist is produced by me and Ross Simonini. Our managing editor is Ben Bush, and our contributing editors are Jenny Amint, Naila Orr, David Weinberg, and Mike Dodge Weisskopf. Our intern is the wonderful Sophia Steinert Evoy. Our editor at KCRW is Nick White, and we're mixed and engineered at KCRW by Kat Yore and Mario Diaz. We'll be back with a new episode, our last, before we take some time off in mid-December. Until then, thanks for listening.